Our first feature this week was written by Derek James, who observes that Strangers' Hall in Norwich has just celebrated 100 years as the oldest public folk museum in the land. The feature is read by Edward Stanley.
If only walls could talk, they'd tell quite a story in this unique building. This is a very special place, tucked away in the city of Norwich, with an extraordinary and fascinating story to tell. One that people of all ages can enjoy, which illustrates so well how museums are no longer stuffy places where you feel like a stranger. You will get a warm welcome at our wonderful Strangers' Hall, which is celebrating its 100th birthday as a museum in public ownership next week. On the 4th of July, 1923, it became one of the oldest public folk museums in the land, thanks to the generosity of Sir Leonard Bolingbroke. The earliest parts of the hall date from the 14th century. For some 400 years, it was the prestigious residence of wealthy merchants, many of whom held high rank in the city as aldermen and mayors. During the 16th century, its owner, Thomas Southerton, was involved in the settlement of the strangers from the Low Countries in Norwich. Over the centuries, Strangers' Hall was home to a dancing master and his family, provided lodgings for assize court judges, and a seminary for Catholic priests. The founder of the hall was a museum solicitor, Leonard Bolingbroke, 1859 to 1927, who came from a family of wealthy local silk weavers, stroke manufacturers, and was a grandson of James Stark, the Norwich School artist. After lengthy debate about the future of the building, he purchased Strangers' Hall in 1899 in order to save it from demolition, at a cost of £1,050. Leonard moved his collection of antiques, topographical prints, into the building and opened it as a museum in 1900, declaring it was the first folk life museum in the land. It cost 6p to get in and have a look. His whole idea was to display objects showing everyday life as opposed to cased displays of specimens. The Oak Room was one of the first, set out with furniture, prints, playbills and railway timetables from his collection. During the first year, it attracted about 200 visitors, and in order to increase income, he let out rooms to local societies. But there were difficult times ahead. In 1904, there was a fire. The hall was expensive to maintain, and 3 years later, Leonard moved his whole family of wife, 5 children and 2 servants in, and legend has it that everyone went up a different staircase to bed, some of which were the attic rooms now used as stores. In 1914, a reproduction of the hall, which took about a month to build, appeared at a large Anglo-American exhibition in Shepherd's Bush, where a lady in 16th century costume guided visitors round. Then, after 2 decades of running the hall as a private museum, Leonard offered the building and the entire stock to the city of Norwich. It took a year or so for the city to consider, formally accept the offer, and refurbish Strangers' Hall. At the reopening ceremony, there were addresses from Sir Rider Haggard, Sir Eustace Gurney, and Lord Mayor George Morse. Leonard described his relationship with Strangers' Hall as a very great adventure. His aim was to show an old house which for centuries had been occupied by a series of city merchants and to show it furnished as it was in their day. People would be able to learn more of the history of England in half an hour than they could learn from many books. Leonard died in the summer of 1927. Described as a tall, upstanding figure, he always carried a hale and hearty appearance and was a man of genial and cultural interests. We have much to thank him for.
Thank you, Edward. I will now pass the microphone back to Phil for some more news stories.